Today's program is brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
This is Mike Edison, host of Art Senses a Seizure, as you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, please visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening and welcome to
Fun About It
on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
I'm Mary Izette.
And I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And we're your co-hosts through this weekly journey of all things fermented.
Archived on Stitcher, iTunes, and right here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org, which is actually going through a Kickstarter campaign currently to update the website, among other things. We only survive with the support of listeners like you, and thankfully we don't have to be pushing for money all year long, but right now is a great time, and we can really, really use your support to further the cause and keep talking about these great things that we're so interested in. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing radio network that we are very proud to be a part of, and please donate to the Kickstarter campaign, which is...
You can go to HRN's homepage, or you can go to Kickstarter.com and search Heritage Radio Network. And they're significantly there, but we still need more support. And this is going to pay for a new website. So not only is it going to be, you know, you'll be able to dig through the archives better, it's going to give the listeners a better user experience as well. You'll be able to interact with us on all of your hosts more and that kind of thing. So it's really going to be a big benefit for all of us. Host and listeners included.
That's right. That's right. And in other news, what's going on in town, Mary? Got any news?
Well, we had the privilege of judging the Pride of Brooklyn homebrew competition on Saturday. It was held at Littlefield. So a big shout out to Casey.
Casey Soloff organized it. This is the third year running. There were 25 homebrewers in attendance sharing some really, really beautiful beers and special congratulations to the four winners who we had a very hard time choosing. Those people are, honorable mention, Patrick Alfred for Alfred's Liquid Establishment, Maple Bourbon Barrel Aged Stout with Coffee, Cocoa Nibs, and Vanilla. Freaking really, really, really good. Really nice. Also, third place, Ian Harper, Northern British Brown Ale with Vermont Maple Syrup. This was a beautiful, beautiful brown ale, man. It was such a pleasure to drink. It was awesome. And actually, we didn't know there was maple syrup in it the time we drank it, but it was gorgeous. Really, really gorgeous. Second place, Rick Bajornis with a Beer de Mars. Freaking awesome beer. Really lively, and we saved a glass through it. Like, it was one of the first beers that we tried, and we were tasting through 25, and you know, an hour and a half later, it still had a lot of life to it, you know, when we returned to it. The first place, Hop Thing, Double IPA with Nelson Hops by Mark Skoroposky and Ben Kossoff of Garvey's Point Brewing Company. I believe he has intent to open a brewing company in Nassau, so we really, really look forward to what he does and or what they do in times to come, and they'll be on the show when they get things together.
That was a perfect double IPA. I mean, spot on.
I mean, we really like IPAs, but I don't know. We like other things, and it's such a buzz thing to have an IPA that I would really fight. I fought every fiber of my being to not vote that number one, but it absolutely deserved it, and it was awesome and a beautifully well-balanced, drinkable double IPA with Southern Hemisphere hops.
And we did just go to Portland, Oregon, so we had our share of beautiful double IPAs. And, you know, there's several breweries in town that are doing absolutely smashing double IPAs, so it's a tough beer to do really well.
Yes.
Next announcement. So our friend John over at Bitter and Esther's homebrew shop in Prospect Heights is teaming up with Pilsner Urquell for a series event. So their first event is tomorrow, which is Tuesday night, at Radagast in Williamsburg. He's going to be teaching a free beer appreciation class at 7 p.m. So that's Radagast in Williamsburg tomorrow night at 7.
Our friend James Zinkin is behind some of the educational programming of Pilsner Urquell. He's recently addition to the Pilsner Urquell team. He's an awesome dude, just really great beer advocate, and really look forward to the developments of this educational program that they're doing. Pilsner Urquell is really putting a lot of attention to education in New York City and abroad. And it's going to be awesome. That's what I have to say about that.
All right. Also, I'm searching my internet. Big Brew Day. So the American Homebrewers Association is sponsoring Big Brew Day this Saturday. Hang on, just give me a second. Come on, so Chris, keep talking.
Keep brewing. Brew a lot. Saturday. Fight. Get your friends. Everybody just brew. This weekend is amazing. It happens every year. Put on by the American Homebrewers Association, Charlie Papazian. They start doing this. Basically a time to celebrate and time to get people brewing and brew a lot. Homebrew.
Yeah, this is an annual event. It's basically to celebrate, you know, the legalization of homebrew and homebrewing across the world and country. So the American Homebrewers Association has a list on their website. You can go to homebrewersassociation.org to either register an event or find an event in your area. So if you are interested in learning to homebrew or becoming a better homebrewer or just hanging out with some of your local homebrewers, this is a great way to join in and meet some cool people and make some great beer. The AHA also has three official recipes for the 2015 Big Brew Day on their website. They have all grain and extract versions that you can download and make at home or your local Big Brew Day. They have a Columbus Pale Ale, an old school barley wine, and a killer Kolsch this year. So be sure and check that out. And then there's going to be a simultaneous toast at noon Central Daylight Time this Saturday. So even if you're not brewing, set aside some time and toast the fact that we can legally homebrew some really great beers.
That's right.
And the community. The community is really amazing. And if you are not a member of the American Homebrewers Association, now is the time to join. Not only is it a good way to, you know, get involved, more involved with the community, both in real life and online. They have a great online forum. You also get Zymergy, which is the homebrewing magazine. And they have a lot of really good discounts. Like, for instance, we always, you know, we live walking distance walking distance to the Brooklyn Brewery, and every time we go to the Brooklyn Brewery, we show our American Homebrewers Association membership card and get a free token for a beer.
That's right. So it only takes a couple of visits to pay off your membership. Just in
That's
beer.
True.
Fantastic. And delicious. Delicious ways to reap rewards.
That's true. All right.
Be careful homebrewing, because it leads to pro brewing. You are the brewers of tomorrow, the pro brewers of tomorrow, and you make our lives taste better. And especially this recent visit, we went to the Craft Brewers Conference in Portland, Oregon this year, which is just growing every year. It's insane the amount of people who are in the industry. This year, there were 11,500 attendees, among them a first-time visitor, Dave Sharfstein. Hey, Dave Sharfstein. Welcome to Foment About It over here.
Hey, Chris.
So, Dave, you may recognize Dave Sharfstein's voice from hanging out with him at the bar, or, you know, you might know that he's, like, behind some of the research and development we do here at Foment About It as of late.
It's pretty well known.
And, yeah, it's pretty well known. But Dave and I actually have intent to kind of do some professional brewing soon. And so this is his first visit to the Craft Brewers Conference. And initial thoughts?
I think, you know, literally my initial thought was when we walked into the welcome reception, and I just couldn't get over the scale of it. I mean, I had heard that there were 11,000 attendees, but until you see that huge, I mean, I think it's where the Trailblazers play, just packed. Absolutely packed on the floor, and also like where they sell concessions with people. It was just this. It's incredible, the scale of it. I don't know how they logistically pull it off. It's so many people and exhibitors and breweries, and it's unbelievable.
And in this case, fire eaters and circus acts too in the middle
right.
of the floor.
Right. Totally. Just women walking around in stilts for no apparent reason.
And hugging everybody. And there was they created a circle of trust. Remember that part? That was pretty incredible. Yeah.
So what were these guys are referring to is the opening reception, which was on Tuesday evening at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. And they did have entertainment as well as lots of voodoo donuts and amazing beers. So let's talk about highlights. Now, that is a really hard event. always fine. So Chris and I actually, no, we didn't go. I went before you. What? I got there before you.
Right.
And so our whole thing is that Chris is trying to catch up to me at some point in the evening so we can hang out. And in fact, that never happened.
She couldn't stand still. She just doesn't forget. She's like, I'm over here. And so I'd end up over there. Like, she kept texting me where you'd be, and then she wouldn't stay there. But I blame Chris O'Leary also for that. So thanks, Brew York. But anyway, this show,
well,
today's show.
It's hard because you run into so many people that you know and haven't seen for a long time. We've ran into friends from Montreal, from California, from all over the country, and drank some absolutely amazing beers. So I will say,
as much as the as much as CBC is about the seminars and the learning and a gathering of just an industry trade show, it's also a reunion of sorts for all of us brewers in the scene.
And the opening reception was all Oregon State breweries. So I don't usually have a favorite, but I will tell you I had a favorite. There was a lot of killer beers, I'll be honest with you. But I love the Flat Tail Brewing Tailgater Kolsch.
That was a delicious Kolsch.
We had some great IPAs and double IPAs, and the variety was absolutely outstanding. But I got to say, that Kolsch was killer. So thanks, Flat Tail Brewing.
I like the Fatheads IPA. That one was a standout for me. Juicy. But today's show is pretty much like a wish you were there, everybody. Wish you were with us in Portland. We're going to kind of recap our experience of Portland. And, this is a fermenter's guide to Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon has one of the most diverse and abundant selection of craft breweries in town. It's insane. We did a Portland show last year, so we'll probably do one on the yearly basis, talking about what goes on.
So Oregon as a state has the second highest number of breweries per capita in the country, right after Vermont. And then Portland as a city has the highest number of breweries per capita of any city in the country.
I thought it wasn't even per capita. I thought it was just...
Period.
Period.
It's
Like an absolute...
I don't know if it's period. Where's San Diego on that?
I don't know.
Because I think San Diego has 80. I'm not sure.
Oh, really?
San Diego County, maybe not city. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
So one of the most interesting things is... the Craft Brewers Conference always has a state of the industry at the beginning. That's kind of a keynote speech, kicks off everything. So craft beer is doing absolutely phenomenal. There was an 18% growth in volume last year, which equates to 22% increase in actual dollar sales. And
that's pretty hefty growth, and we've seen consistent growth over the years. One thing I thought was interesting about that opening talk too, and I guess we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, was that in the past, Paul Gatza has talked about competition to the beer sector and has included cider in that. And this year he didn't talk about that at all. And I think that, you know, cider is now we're considering it more hand in hand and a team effort kind of thing. Or maybe he just didn't mention it because...
Well, there are over 70 craft cideries in Oregon, so we're going to get to that.
Exactly.
But let's talk a little bit about Boer Brewing. Some of the other cool things is that as of the end of last year, there are now 3,418 total craft breweries in the country. And there were only 46 closings last year compared to 615 openings. So if you think about that per day, that's 1.7 per day
right opening.
Now. That's incredible. It's super exciting to be able to go almost anywhere in the country and be able to drink some really killer craft beer.
From within 10 miles, generally.
Yep. So after that, I attended... Anyway, craft beer is booming, and it was... Portland and Oregon State overall are really... really killing it, and it was really inspirational to go out there and drink at some of these breweries. But let's talk about New York State. I was lucky enough to attend the New York State Brewers Association meeting.
Immediately following that opening speech. What was it called again?
Opening session
was the New York State Brewers Association meeting that Mary hit and I did not.
So let's talk about New York State. First of all, a huge cheers to New York State for being number two as far in the country for number of brewery openings last year. That's outstanding. So our craft brewing in New York State is growing leaps and bounds. We're number two just behind Washington State. So currently we have 207 operating breweries in New York State. They said we've produced 1 billion barrels of beer in New York State alone.
That's pretty hefty.
Yep. And that equivalents to that. What does that mean in real life? Well, that means about 11,366 full-time jobs and about $450 million in craft beer tourism. So we're doing
to New York State.
Yep. New York State alone. Yeah, it's incredible. So we're super excited. If you want to learn more about drinking in New York State, if you live here or you are visiting, New York State is actually in New York City as well, is a great state to not only visit breweries, but also cideries, distilleries, and wineries. You can go to, but for more about New York State breweries, go to www.thinknewyorkdrinknewyork. So that's Think NY, Drink NY.
We're going to take a really quick break, and then we're going to recap all the breweries and the fermented fun that we
went
to.
We can fit it all in.
We can. It's not just beer today. See you in a second. Fun man about it. Or I'll hear you in a second. Or you'll hear me in a second. Fun man about it over here.
Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Ferment About It, where we are talking about the Craft Brewers Conference in Portland, Oregon, 2015. We're fresh back from it. We saw a lot of old friends, including Charlie Papazian, John Palmer, Jamil Zainashef. We hung out with a lot of our friends from New York that were out there. We saw our friends from the Commons and our friends from Burnside, and it was just incredible. We are going to recap all of the fermented fun. It wasn't just about beer for us. It was about pickles, cider, kombucha, beer.
Yeah, so let's talk about Portland highlights. All right. I made the list. So let's give a big shout out to the Portland breweries that we did visit. So Commons. That was fantastic. If you haven't listened to our Portland Brewing Show, it was a little over a year ago. We'll give you the episode. We'll tweet the episode in a little bit. But it was super fun having them. They visited New York City and were on our show, and it was great seeing them in their natural environment. So
especially since Commons in particular, they started on, I think it was a 7-barrel system, and they just recently expanded to, I think it's a 15 or 20-barrel system, and then new facility. It's awesome. It's
gorgeous.
Great.
Yeah.
Making amazing beer, really, really inspiring, and just great all around. Great dudes, and an interesting model of a brew pub. There's no food. Oh, there is. There was a little bit of kind of charcuterie.
Yeah, sandwiches. Yep. Cheese. Local cheese.
Kitchen. Yep.
So Commons, Green Dragon, Hair of the Dog, Cascade, Base Camp, Hopworks, Urban Brewery, Upright, Ex Novo, Pints, Breakside, Barrelick, Stonebreaker, and Burnside. I didn't get to go to all those because Kuzma and Dave stayed an extra day, but
we're very dedicated to our craft.
That's true. I want to give a big shout out to Portland's food truck pod. So Portland, Oregon is famous for its food trucks. And I had read about these food truck pods. I didn't understand what that meant. But basically what it means is they have a city square that is used to be a parking lot and is now surrounded by a food truck. So I had a great experience at Chez Dodo, which is a Mauritanian food truck. That's a small island off the southeast coast of Africa. I had ground venison over traditional curry mien frire, which is like a stir-fried noodle. And then Chris and I went to the brunch box and got us some double down sandwiches. So big shout out to those guys. Those were some absolutely amazing food truck food. You guys went to Portland Kettle Works Laboratory. Right. So what the heck is that? I didn't get to. We were together part of the time, and then we went our separate ways.
Split up for this one. So it was the first day that they had the laboratory open. They haven't installed all their tanks just yet, but basically Portland Kettle Works has a little tap room open that's going to feature beers made on a 3.5-barrel system that they're letting local home brewers and brewers come in and just brew experimental one-off batches and serve from the tap room. Get used to that little system. It's an awesome, really, really great system. It's kind of insane. It's beautifully, really, really well made. The beers they had on tap were just all local beers just showing up the tap room. There was no list because they had gotten it together like 2 hours before we even showed up. But it was really cool.
And so while you guys were at that, I went to RevNat. So RevNat's Cidery is right in Portland. Super easy to get to by public transportation or walk, you know, easy walk. And he hosted first of all, he makes some amazing ciders on his own. But he did a great thing in hosting a whole bunch of the local Oregon cider maker. So I met a ton of cider. Big shout out. Thanks to Kevin from Easy Orchards and Abram from Cider Riot. They gave me some bottles to bring home with me. All the bottles made it through my two flights on the way back. So we're actually drinking, the Cider Riot Never Give an Inch, and it's an Oregon blackberry cider. This is delicious, right? It's like fruity, dry.
Yeah, really nice.
Anyway, so thanks to those guys. I drank a lot of ciders. I drank almost 30 different ciders while I was in Oregon. Usually 2 ounce pours.
I want to note that was within a 24-hour period.
That's true.
We were kind of on a crazy like cider kick in the middle of while we were in beer town.
Yeah, but they had some, you know, we could do 2 and 4 ounce pours, you know, small pours, so I got to taste a lot. And it was just super exciting seeing what's going on in the cider scene out there. They're actually doing a lot with just dessert or regular eating apples. So that's super exciting to see. And that's something any of you who are interested in making cider can do with especially locally bought juice. Store-bought juice is fine too, but if you have a green market, if you're in an apple-producing area, man, get turned on to cider.
There are excellent ways to manipulate the flavors through yeast control, despite your apples.
And flavors, local flavoring, yeah. And all kinds of stuff. So the next day after that, Chris went. You went to the Craft Brewers Conference for a while.
Yes, I did. The trade floor is particularly important right now. The trade expo is. They had more. They had 600 different vendors this year, which was also insane. I mean, so many things, like so many people are getting into the industry and on making brewing products. I mean, with the rate of growth of 1.7 breweries opening every day, it's like the
people have to buy their equipment somewhere.
Yeah. And that equipment runs a span of from the brew house all the way down to tap handles and keychains, you know, everything in between.
Absolutely. So Dave and I met up for a And then Lovely. Chris joined us later. Mary and Chris and Dave's fermented adventure. So Dave and I actually started at Blue Star Donuts. So I was super happy to visit Dave at 33 Donut or at the 33books.com. He had a booth on the floor. So I ran into him. He just came out with he has these super cute tasting journals. We've had him on the show before. They're awesome, especially if you're getting into something new or you just want to keep track of what you're eating or drinking. So he just came out with the 33 Donuts book. So I had tweeted about it on My Life on Craft. You can check out a photo of the book. And so we started with that with a basil bourbon blueberry donut. So not fermented, but a good way to start the day. We then had a local chocolate shop called Cacao, where we loaded up on local chocolates, which are super delicious. And then we set out for Lionheart Kombucha. So Lionheart Kombucha is a local Portland, Oregon kombuchery. Dave got to see his first kombuchery.
My first SCOBY.
Yes. His first crock of SCOBY.
It was a crock of SCOBY. It was like a giant pile of SCOBYs. It was insane.
Yeah, and impressive. So Jane, who works there, was kind enough to give us a tour, but they're making some great kombucha over there. If you are in Portland, definitely stop by. You can get it a lot of other local places. They're bottling as well as serving it on draft. We were lucky enough to have their ginger and their great kombuchas. So after that, we hit Bushwhacker.
That's where I met up with you guys.
Yeah. After that, we hit Bushwhacker Cider, which is, I think, one of the country's first cider pubs. So that's, they're a local cidery, but they also have, how many ciders do they have on tap? 10 ciders on tap, including two of theirs.
Yeah.
And then 600
varieties.
More bottles of cider that I've ever seen in one place in my life. I took pictures of everything. So these are all going to be, I'm still sorting through them. They'll be on my blog, My Life on Craft, as well as on my Flickr, which is Meguiar, Meguiar. So big shout out to one of the owners, Erin, who was there from Bushwhacker Cider. We got to speak with her. We got to taste again a lot more ciders. That was part of my 24 hours.
Yes, absolutely.
And then we headed up, we walked just up the street to Moon Brine Pickles. That was super fun. So, Stuart, thanks to Stuart. We're going to have a lot of these people actually on the show coming up in the next, later on this year. But Stuart is originally started pickling in the East Village, New York, here in New York City. And he is now making awesome fermented pickles in Portland, Oregon. He brought us out a bunch of tasting. We got to do taste a bunch of his pickles. They were all absolutely delicious. We got to do shots of brine.
I like how, we did. Yeah. That was great. I was starting to feel sick this day. Like I got something, but I like how, I really respect that he doesn't let half sour pickles out of the house. Like, he only serves them there. And that's because they're still fermenting. And, you know, if you don't eat them immediately, you know, they will no longer be half sour. They'll be full sour because they're alive. Yeah. And he's like, you know, he was not going to let any of the half sours out of there. As a true New Yorker, he's like, no, respect the half sour.
All right, so let me go back. I have a list, but I'm trying to find. So after that, actually, we walked. So we did all this pretty much walking, actually, from Lionheart Kombucha onward. So we hit the Beer Monger, which is a local pub bottle shop. Great, great tap selection. They were featuring New Mexico beers. Yeah. And then I also got to try out of the bottle a High Wheel Wine and Mead Company, which is a local Portland. I didn't get to hit them next time I go to Oregon. Death Wish Bunny, which was a carrot ginger mead, basically.
Yep.
Or carrot wine. And it was pretty interesting and pretty tasty. So I definitely got to hit them up next time. At that point,
we got a Twitter shout out from our friends at Grimm. And they had a beer on over at Apex, which was just happened to be right across the street. So we went over and met up with them. Apex has a really great beer selection, and we ended up doing a flight of rare barrel sours.
Oh, man, they're so good. Well, first of all, they got us a table. I headed down to one of the local stores and picked up some local cheeses from Ancient Heritage. So Apex, they didn't have their own food, so we could bring our own food. So I figured this was a good idea to go to hit one of the local stores that has a great selection of local health food stores that has a great selection of local products. And I picked up two cheeses from Ancient Heritage Dairy, which is Portland, Oregon's only creamery, and as well as some popcorn that featured a local distillery. It was the Hot Monkey Pineapple Popcorn, and then some local dark ale beef jerky.
All delicious.
Yeah.
You did well.
We were already having a good time, and then Mary showed up with a lot of snacks.
We tried to, you know, try as much local stuff as we possibly could. And then we met up with my cousin Rob, which was awesome. I haven't seen him in many years.
But you tweeted while we were eating that cheese right there.
Yeah, because it was, oh my God, it was out. The cheese was outstanding. Yeah, so I tweeted, and they tweeted back at me and invited me on a tour of the cheese
caves?
The creamery and the cheese caves. So we'll get to that. But after, we met up with my cousin Rob, and we went to Biwa. So Biwa is like a Japanese, I can never say that, izakaya. What is it called? Izakaya. Anyway, a little Japanese restaurant the owner does a lot of fermenting. So we got to try some natto, which no one liked but me.
That's right.
I love natto, though.
We like you. We just don't like natto.
Yeah. So natto is like a it's a weird kind of sticky, stinky fermented soybean action. And apparently it's polarizing because I've only come across... I keep asking because I want to know. There's more people out natto lovers than me.
Natto is not for me.
And we had some great miso, some kimchi, and some great house-made pickles as well. Fermented pickles. So that was a lot of fun.
And fermented... pork belly the chef brought out mm-hmm. for us, and some grilled fermented pork belly.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was delicious. And then we headed to Green Dragon for a drink after that.
Yeah. Saw a guy that looked like Santa Claus.
Yeah. Then the next day, we went our separate ways again, and I hit... food truck. Then I hit, actually... So Emily, I met up with Emily at Ancient Heritage, and she gave... myself and two friends of mine an absolutely amazing tour. So I took a ton of photos. Their cheeses are great. It was just super inspirational. I haven't toured a creamery or cheese caves in a long time, and they're just doing a fantastic job. They're family owned. They've been around a while, and they're making some killer cheeses. So that was super special. We then walked down to Groundbreaker, which is a gluten-free brewery in Portland, Oregon. I was really impressed with their beers. I had a flight of 10 or 12 different all gluten-free beers. They're using chestnut, lentils, and sorghum. And it was very inspirational. We've had some gluten-free beer shows. We've had Twyla from Grouse Malting, which is a gluten-free maltery. But we haven't really done that much at home. So that's something that's on my to-do list in the next couple of months, is to really get into making some gluten-free beers.
But now a word from our sponsor. Speaking of gluten-free beers, Brian Kolbaki, congratulations for getting all your things set up out in Jersey City. We were super psyched to taste more of your wares. Dave and I had the pleasure of helping you set up some equipment. And I can't wait to taste your love.
That's
you quote me on that, Brian.
Absolutely.
I love you, man. I love you, man. Let's bro down. Let's beer up and bro down.
And then I rounded out my experience before meeting up with Dave and Chris by hitting two distilleries with my friends Craig and Jeff. So I went to New Deal and Eastside Distilleries, and that was super fun, man. I tasted some really good sampled some really good local distilled liquors.
Yep. I kept it mellow. No distilled stuff for me.
Well, you're getting cold at that point. I was still going strong. What else? You guys got to hit Rev Nats.
So we left you. You left on Saturday morning.
After a great visit.
To the market.
To the Portland Saturday Farmers Market, which is actually at Portland State University.
Yeah. It's awesome market. Great. Like, really... It was a beautiful day to go. There was music all around. There was some beautiful tomatoes.
Baskets of morel mushrooms and fiddleheads and kombucha and sauerkraut. I mean, we tasted a lot of pickle stuff, but we had a variety of delicious pastries and all kinds of stuff. So it, oh man.
Then you left us and went to the airport to go to California for a 5-hour
layover. I
hit
Long Beach, hit two breweries in Long Beach. Thank you very much.
And Dave and I continued on our research and development and went to Pints, which is a really awesome little 3.5-barrel system going into 7-barrel fermenters. It's a really, really awesome little place with some good food. Actually, I had some pork fat poutine, which was pretty delicious, gotta say.
Oh man, I didn't hear this.
Oh man, yeah, I forgot to tell you about that. It was good. And then from there, we went to Reverend Nat's Hopped Cider Fest. This was awesome. He hosted 44 different hopped ciders he had going on. Some of them were his. 44 different hopped ciders under one roof, or actually outside. He closed off the block, and it was really, really awesome. I know we talk about, you know, how well cider displays the fun of hops, and this was a really, really excellent example of that. 44 different examples, and next year is going to be even bigger. This was his second year doing it. Last year it was all inside, and he opened it up the street. It was incredible. I couldn't help but miss Mary so much during those few 5 hours we spent there.
He wouldn't stop talking about it.
Thanks, Dave. And then from there we went on to Berlick.
Stormbreaker.
And closing out at Breakside for the closer. All great local breweries.
I will say, if you're flying from New York City to Portland and the direct flight either there or back is a little pricey, you can fly JetBlue to Long Beach, have a 5-hour layover, hit a couple breweries, which is what I did.
One of my favorite breweries while we were out there, just because we're on, you know, talking about it, and there's no way you can fit everything in, Upright Brewing was one of my favorites. Yeah, it was in the basement, hard to get to or hard to find. I mean, easy to get to, but wouldn't really realize it was kind of in this building. And it was like, you get down there, it was just really special, quaint, and felt like it was for, I mean, the beers were absolutely delicious. And,
yeah. Also, big shout out to Hopworks for the American Brewers Guild party.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I forgot about that so much. Thank you to Steve Parks and Hopworks for hosting that, for sure. So I graduated from the American Brewers Guild, and we had a little reunion kind of thing with Christine McKeever and Steve Parks, and it was good to see some old alum. We got a tour of it. William gave us a tour, one of my classmates. And
super class. I mean, they're doing great beers, and just it's gorgeous brewery.
In tandem with the thing, it was they had done a collaboration with Bitburger, so they did a really clean beer, but they hopped it up, like, you know, they did it in the it was a hoppy lager. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was delicious. That's it.
I have to close it.
I know. Like,
there's so much to talk about. Go to Portland is what we're trying to say. Go to Portland. Try some of these things. Like, or all the, you can't go wrong there. The food trucks. You're going to stumble upon breweries, and there's so much good stuff there. And we talked about that on the Portland show when we were, you know, a year ago. Like the caliber of brewers there and the standard of excellence is really high. I think. I mean, life tastes great in Portland, and. You know, also the Craft Brewers Conference, it was educational, and it was great to be on the floor, and just the stuff that's out there for brewing today was insane. I'm still in shock and overwhelmed with it all.
Yeah, the new hops, all the new
technology. Totally excited
and
inspired, and I don't think our bubble is going to burst yet. There's plenty of room for growth as long as the quality stays high, and, you know, that's the common theme every year as it all grows. The quality needs to grow with it and stay high, and you know, the education standard of excellence. Don't settle for anything less than awesome.
Yeah. I would say we could have easily spent probably 4 or 5 more days in Portland. I definitely am looking forward to going back. We didn't get to do everything. I did actually hit one. I hit the Portland Art Museum. I didn't get to hit any other museums. There's a lot of other places that we just didn't make it to. We just didn't have time. So
we have to go back.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
If you want to come with us, let us know. We'll foment about it. Class trip to Portland.
Yeah, but Portland, Oregon, as a travel destination, gets the foment about it A1 stamp.
Damn straight.
So
foment about it. Thanks for coming, Dave.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for bringing
me
to Portland.
Next Monday, 7 p.m.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.